First case in the matter of the application of Ormit Primary Aluminum Corporations for approval of the unique arrangements with Ohio Power Company and Columbus Southern Power Company et al. Our first appellant is Mr. McNamee.
Mr. Nurse, Your Honor. Thank you. May it please the court, on behalf of AEP Ohio here today, AEP Ohio's position has been straightforward and simple in these cases below, and I hope before this court. If the commission approves an economic development discount for a particular customer, it must provide recovery of the same discount for the utility that's affected by that agreement. If the commission is not going to permit recovery, then it should not approve the full discount. This is something that AEP has made clear as a legal issue, Your Honors, and the position of the company is not to undermine the contracts involved or take away from the discount that's been awarded by the commission, simply to address the disallowance of our recovery of the discount.
Mr. McNamee, this is a special arrangement with a customer, am I right?
I was wrong.
It's Norris.
Mr. Norris, I'm sorry.
Yes, Your Honor.
As a result of the special arrangement, there are special rates that have been given to this customer.
Special rates, really it's a discount from the standard tariff rate that would otherwise apply, Your Honor, yes.
Okay, and are we talking principally about the provider of last resort charges?
The provider of last resort, or Polar, is the issue underlying the non-recovery of the full discount. The commission imposed a Polar offset when...
And the reason that it's at issue is because there isn't any likelihood that the customer would be going elsewhere for service because of the special rate that it got.
Your Honor, that's part of the commission's rationale.
It seems to be sensible, at least at first blush when you look at it, because if a customer can negotiate with a power company for a very special rate and it's satisfied with it, presumably lower than what might be otherwise competitively available on the market, the likelihood that it would decide to go elsewhere is remote at best, and therefore the commission says, well, we're just not going to reimburse you for the loss that you have here because there isn't any likelihood this customer is going to go elsewhere for another rate because you've given them the best rate.
I understand.
That seems
your point
to be a very compelling argument to me, and I'm asking you for your best position as to convincing me of why I should change a viewpoint or try to understand yours better.
I understand, Your Honor. Thank you. There are a couple major reasons. First of all, the fact that the company stands by as the Polar provider, we have to provide service regardless of what the market prices do during the term of our rate plan. And so if the tariff rate is at a certain level, when the market goes down below that level, customers can leave. When the market rates go above the level of the standard offer, they can come back. That's no different with the discounted rate, Your Honor. It just takes the tariff level down a couple notches, but the market is unrestricted. It can still go certainly below especially during a 10-year agreement like the two we have here. We don't know what the market is going to do over a decade. And so the market price can go well below even the discounted rate, the same manner it could go below the undiscounted rate.
So what would be the reimbursement at the instant, say for the first 12 months when it is a low rate? Is there a recovery of a Polar charge now?
Your Honor, in the electric security plan cases, which the court heard last month, the Polar charge, as it's called, was approved based on the company's the risk incurred under its mandatory statutory Polar obligation. Unlike competitive providers, the electric utility has to serve every and all customers. It's the customer's right to shop, the customer's right not to shop, that they exercise based on their own economic interests, and we have to stand by to as the safety net, and more importantly, as the commission found in the ESP cases, most of that risk and most of the costs associated with that risk is at the day one of the plan, standing ready to serve all customers throughout the full term of the plan. And in this instance, Your Honor, we have two 10-year contracts that also, if you look out for the whole span of the 10 years, which the commission was actually reluctant to do itself, in the most recent decision of these two cases was the Aramet entry on rehearing, and the commission in that case basically found at page 3 of the entry on rehearing that they were they basically refused to speculate over the full term of the 10-year. They tried to limit it to a 3-year view of the current polar charge, but again, that is beside the point when we come back to the reasonable arrangement statute that's controlling over this case. All the parties in the commission agree that that statute applies, and in particular, in Part E, there are 4 items that are permitted under a reasonable arrangement, and item number 1 is the item that applies here, and it's for a reasonable arrangement, an economic development reasonable arrangement. In that statute, the commission concludes and asserts in its decisions it has full discretion to allow or deny recovery of the discount that they've authorized and they've adopted for a specific customer. AEP's position is that that is erroneous as a matter of law, and regardless of what charge they didn't allow in this case, it could happen to any. They're saying they have full discretion. They can order a discount over our objection and then not allow any recovery of Delta revenue. The General Assembly made a conscious choice in the language it adopted in 49531E. And in item number 1, it says that the costs incurred in conjunction with an economic development program, including recovery of revenue foregone as a result of any program. The General Assembly has already specified that the impact of an economic development as such as this includes foregone revenue. It doesn't talk about doing a cost offset like the commission tried to do. The General Assembly knows how to specify a cost offset when it wants to. It did so in several instances elsewhere in Senate Bill 221. The General Assembly specified, again, as a matter of law, that the program should include recovery of foregone revenue.
The polar charge, Council, that's a charge that the commission approves overall. They set the rate for that. Is that correct?
Correct. It applies to all customers unless...
And that's a number. To get approval of that in the first place, what did the company have to demonstrate to the commission?
Well, in the ESP case, Your Honor, the commission explicitly acknowledged that it was the company's statutory obligation. It's something...
Right, I understand the obligation, but they don't just say, well, you can jack $100 million into the overall customer base for this item. I assume that the company has to show something.
Your Honor, it's
so that they can pick a number for this.
Your Honor, it was not based. The award of the polar charge was not based on a cost incurred basis. The commission did not say go out and spend money on hedging transactions and then show us the receipts and we'll reimburse you. It was based on an assessment of the risk as we sat before the time of the market rates occurring, and it was based on the optionality of the customer having the right to choose to shop or having the right not to shop, depending on where market prices were during that whole term. So
that number is arrived at by sheer speculation on the part of the company and on the part of the commission.
No, Your Honor, it wasn't sheer speculation. There was expert testimony. It was based on the record. And it was robust and well developed. The
projections as to movement of customers, then, is that what they were?
It's migration, Your Honor, away and coming back.
All right.
When market prices are down, they leave. When they're up, they come back.
So they pick a percentage. I think we went down this road
yes.
a month ago.
Yes.
So they pick a number and they're estimating high-low in terms of the movement of customers. Is that correct?
Yes, and Your Honor, the Polar Charge was part of a package. The ESP statute, the Electric Security Plan, is something where a utility can propose a package, the commission can approve it, they can modify it, and if the utility is not satisfied, they can withdraw. So it's a package deal, and what we have here is the commission. And you heard last month, Commission's counsel argue that this new law is not your grandfather's regulation. It's not based on cost.
And so your argument to us is that this is a global charge that the company receives, and you can't be picking away at the edges and taking it away because you look at specific customers and say, there's a low probability that these customers will migrate.
Well, that's correct, Your Honor. You can't pick away after they awarded a revenue requirement of more than $100 million. That's a substantial part of the package deal. But also, in that ESP decision, they explicitly rejected a proposal by the Ohio Energy Group to allow customers to bypass by promising not to shop. It's exactly what they turned around in this case, in the Ormet case, which is about 8 days after the ESP decision was final, and said, okay, this is different, a contract, you know, makes it different.
Back up to the other example, they rejected what?
The Ohio Energy Group, and this is in the record, and we
in this case, or?
It's in this case, and Your Honor, in the Aramet decision below, the commission took administrative notice of Mr. Barron's testimony on behalf of OEG, but the point is that the commission considered and rejected as part of making the Polar
Charge. And who's Ohio Energy? Is that the?
It's an industrial customer group, Your Honor.
All right. So they're in this case trying to protect their interest from so much relief given to this customer that it costs them all money. Is that right?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, if I've confused the matter, but they were in the ESP case.
Okay.
And our point is, in the ESP case, the commission considered the same argument.
Right. Well, I'm interested in the mechanics of how this works. In this case, are other customers who are impacted by the break that goes to this company who will bear the cost of that? Are they able to come into this case and say, no, don't give that big a break?
Your Honor, the Ohio Consumers Council, you'll hear from them. They've intervened and opposed. Again, the commission really employed the best of both worlds strategy here. They've approved a discount for a deserving customer, but then they trimmed the price tag and said, well, customers really don't have to pay the full price for that. We submit that's directly against the General Assembly's mandate that said, Commission, you can approve whatever discount you think is deserving, but part of the price tag includes revenue foregone. Not a cost offset, but revenue. There's a difference between revenue and cost, and the General Assembly understands that.
Can I
what's
ask
the
foregone?
What's the dollar amount here?
It's more than $10 million a year for Ormet alone.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding your argument, because it appears at certain points that you're mixing two of the arguments, and I want to make sure I have clarification. The commission did allow you to recover your delta, what you call the delta revenue, and the Polar Charge is separate from that. That's not correct.
No, Your Honor, let me explain.
Okay,
the discount, part of the discount is the full delta revenue, delta meaning the difference between mm-hmm. tariff and discount mm-hmm. contracted price. It included what the commission characterized as a polar offset. So This charge, there's no question among the parties of the commission, the Polar Charge would have applied to Ormet and Aramet absent these special contracts. And the commission has offset when it comes for purposes of our recovery of the discount, paying the price, they've offset it with the Polar Charge.
But the sole purpose of the Polar Charge, and again, please correct me if I'm wrong, is to protect AEP should the customer decide to leave. It's a contingency. And these two customers are in a 10-year contract with your company, so they can't leave. And so the Polar Charge would be to protect something that can't happen pursuant to the arrangement.
Your Honor, if I could address that. Again, we've challenged the commission's finding of no risk. First of all, that finding was really a creation of the decision, not the contract or the litigation. Commission decided to deem CSP the exclusive supplier. We submit that cuts against a number of express provisions in 4928, in particular point 02, 03, and 06, as we briefed. So we think it's unlawful for the commission to deem that, and we think there's still a shopping risk. In fact, in the record, in the Aramet case, for example, the commission relies exclusively on Mr. Bjorklund's testimony, an Aramet executive, and he really just gave a vague personal view that as he sat there in the hearing room, he didn't think there'd be a need to shop during the term of the agreement. They didn't explicitly commit not to shop. In fact, the contract, as we briefed, has several off-ramps, and the commission has continuing jurisdiction. Put it this way, we believe, and we've been upfront about this, if it comes time, 3, 5, 7 years into this agreement, that these large customers want to retain jobs in Ohio and want to promote economic development, and the market price is low enough that it keeps jobs in Ohio if they go to the market, we believe the commission will allow that, frankly.
So, Counsel, are you saying that the contract, the risk is that the contract would be breached? And so just-in-case capacity that Polar represents would then be called into play?
It could be breached, Your Honor, and frankly, that's something that the parties could control, and if it's in their interest to breach, perhaps that would happen. But what I'm really saying is the commission, and this is reflected in Article 2.03 of the Ormet contract and Article 11 of the Aramet contract, the commission has continuing jurisdiction, and so that's part of the contract. The commission can come in and change the contract anytime it wants to, and my example that I was just listing, we think is realistic. This whole regulatory regime is based on market-based pricing, and the reasonable arrangement statute should be applied in the same vein that the structure.
If we agree with your position, what would we write here? What action would we take?
Well, again, we're not asking that it doesn't require that the contracts be terminated, but the commission should be reversed on its finding that they have full discretion in recovering foregone revenue when the statute says that must include.
But we have recovery. To affirm part of it and reverse part of it, is what you're asking?
It's a reversal on that legal issue, Your Honor, is what we're asking
on
for.
On the discretion of the commission?
No, the discretion is to adopt the discount or not. They don't have discretion under the statute in paying the price tag for that discount. That's our sole interest. Thank you, Your Honor. If I have any time, I'd like to reserve for rebuttal.
Well, actually, you don't, but we'll give you a minute. Mr. McNamee.
Hey, please, the court. My name is Thomas McNamee, here on behalf of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. With me are Michael Itzkowski from Ohio Consumers Council and Daniel Barnowski from Ormet Primary Aluminum. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes of time for each of them. Your Honors, this case is about economic development. The General Assembly created a new tool for customers to use, and two customers used that tool. Under the amended statute, 4905.31, as it exists today, customers have a new option. They can make an application to the commission asking for different rate treatment. This is a tariff item. We talk about contracts, that's not really applicable. This is really in the nature of a tariff. They make a filing with the commission. The commission considers that filing, and it issues an order accepting or modifying or even rejecting. In this case, the commission modified the proposals. When the commission does that, the utility then has to amend its schedules to be in keeping with whatever the commission has ordered. That's happened in this case. This is a mechanism that allows customers to obtain lower utility costs that otherwise would not be available.
But it allows the power company to recover from all the other customers the amount of the tariff, or what they call the delta, the difference between what they would have collected and what the discounted tariff is. Am I right about that or not?
Well, yeah, specifically, another aspect of the statute that was amended was to insert a provision which specifically the statute says may include a device to recover costs incurred in conjunction with an economic development or job retention program. So yes, that possibility is created, but it's an option. The commission doesn't have to do anything. It did in this case. And our position is that the commission has given the company everything to which it's entitled, or everything it would have any claim to at all. What they want is more than that. They want to be paid.
Counsel, would you please use the microphone?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was drifting there a bit. They want to be paid for a risk not borne. They want to be paid this polar charge. That's one of the components that go into building the rates. Okay, that's made up of a number of different parts. One of those parts is called the polar. That was created specifically to repay the company for the risk that a customer will leave the standard offer service and come back. That can't happen here.
Why? Mr. McNamee, Mr. Norris says that there are a variety of off-ramps in this arrangement. It's less clear to me as time goes on in its arguments as to whether or not we're talking about a contract for 10 years or whether we're talking about a rate structure approval by the commission that's not a contract. And is which is it, first of all?
Latter.
All right. And that's why he says there are off-ramps, because the commission can reel this back in at various times.
Statutorily, the commission, as with any other tariff, as with any other rate, this is a regulated matter.
Continuing jurisdiction.
As continuing jurisdiction.
Right. So what happens if this company decides they'd rather be in the cast iron business than the aluminum business, and that there are better places to do that 3 years into this, and so they're just gone completely?
The polar charge isn't created to repay the company, AEP, for the risk that one of its customers will disappear.
Okay.
It's intended to repay the company for the risk that one of its customers will leave its service and then come back. Okay? And so that isn't going to happen here. That can't happen here. They'll never leave in the first place. If they simply go out of business, that was never contemplated as something that the polar charge was intended to pay for. That's why you may recall from the last argument, talk about this Black-Scholes model that was used to develop the polar charge. That's a way to value an option to purchase power. And that's why.
So we are talking about smart people who know this business sitting around and gauging.
Yes.
What's going to be the cost to protect you?
Yes, and they use a very sophisticated model for gauging. It's the same model that's used for valuing options of any sort, but it was used in this application specifically for electricity options.
Mr. McNamee, if this arrangement under the continuing jurisdiction of the commission,
yes,
is revisited.
Yes.
Would the Delta charges also be potentially revisited so that the polar, if it turned out that there was a concern that there should be a reasonable amount, it could be readjusted?
Oh, certainly. Not only could it happen, it will almost certainly happen. Because the polar charge as it exists today is just a function of the ESP, the electric security plan. That electric security plan has a 3-year life. At the end of this calendar year, that plan will go away, and it'll be replaced by something. We don't know what yet. There will be more proceedings at the commission to figure that out. But at this point in time, we don't know what will happen. Or what the rates will otherwise applicable rates will be. So
does that mean the polar charge goes away?
Yes.
At the end of this year?
Yes, it does.
For everybody?
Yes. Because the whole plan that's a part of goes away, the rates that otherwise would be applicable, that all goes away, and it would be replaced with something else.
Could be the same thing.
Could be something completely different.
The polar charge at the bottom end, or the fundamental end, the foundational end, the polar charge is to make sure that the utility has enough funds to provide the capacity to serve all of the customers that are in its service territory and could come and demand electricity from it. Is that not correct?
Yes. Specifically, if a customer leaves and then comes back, AEP would need to obtain the capacity and the energy to serve that customer when they had not planned for that customer. You have to plan ahead several years.
So that brings us back to the question that Justice Pfeiffer asked earlier. Doesn't this really entail some sort of a global solution? Because it's really hard to do it on an individual customer basis, but it's the overall thing. You measure the overall, and individual customers are kind of incidental to it. And if that's not the case,
that may be true for you and I as customers. It's fairly easy to measure really large customers like Ormet and Aramet. These are very large customers indeed, and they consume power on a scale that can be measured in a meaningful way in valuing these this risk.
I realize the law is fairly new, but what is the incidence of these special economic development rates?
These are the first two instances of a unilateral application by a customer that is one opposed by the utility. So these are really matters of first impression. It's the first time that this statute has been applied, Your Honor.
Do I understand your argument is that 490531 provides a discretionary option to
yes.
the commission?
Yes.
That it may include a device to recover the costs, and you're saying therefore
those are the words on the page, yes.
It's not obligated to.
Correct. Now.
And is that the principal difference between your position
yes.
and AEP here?
Yeah, that is a primary difference. The commission didn't have to do anything. It did. It did create this mechanism, but it didn't have to do anything. Now, that may seem harsh. It isn't as harsh as it sounds. The utility always has a backstop. This is a regulated activity. If it believes that it's not earning a sufficient return on its regulated activities, it can file a rate case. And that's the relief.
Is this device to recover these costs, is that part of the tariff?
Yes.
Pardon me?
Yes.
So it's in the tariff?
Yeah. So it's included in the commission's order. So yes, it's officially there.
Counsel, you indicated to Justice Kupp that these are the first companies to come
yes.
in and have the commission determine a favorable rate
yes.
Where the company is opposing the proposed rate. But many large customers of this company and all regulated, all of the electric utilities, many large customers have negotiated
Yes.
Favorable deals.
And they still are, yes.
And with respect to all of those, I assume they're long-term. Are they contracts since they're negotiated rather than commission orders?
They are written up in the form of a contract, but in point of fact, everything that's done under 490531
has to be blessed by the commission.
Well, and it's, yeah, and it's subject
okay.
to...
Okay, so where I'm going with this is the Polar charge, the company gets that charge with respect to all the other large customers that have negotiated favorable terms. Is that correct?
Those other contracts do not obligate the customers to stay with the utility. That's a fundamental difference between these arrangements, where there will be no shopping, and the others. They can opt out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Yazowski.
Thank you. Madam Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court, I am Mike Itzkowski with the Ohio Consumers Council on behalf of the residential customers of AEP, OCC, and the Ohio Energy Group filed joint briefs in these cases. These orders are more than reasonable for AEP because there's no harm here. This is a great deal for AEP. In fact, there's harm prevented to them, and there are great benefits. With the discounts and the long-term contracts, AEP is, Ormed is allowed to remain open. Aramed is given investments by its parent company and is growing stronger. AEP retains all the sales and all the profits from the sales to these companies. It has better utilization of its fixed costs, and for this bargain, it's not paying anything. It's not sharing any of the cost of the discount, which is has been a common practice before the PUCO in the past. The discounts being paid entirely by customers, most of whom see no direct benefit. My second point is that the Polar charges in this case, if they were paid to AEP, would constitute a windfall profit. In other words, money for services not provided. The statute is clear.
Well, the whole Polar charge could be regarded as a windfall, couldn't it? I mean, if it's there to protect them from the, because they have to ultimately provide service if customers leave and they come back, but in fact that's not happening.
Well, here
and it isn't. So isn't the whole thing a windfall?
It is in large measure a windfall, especially these Polar charges if allowed to be paid to AEP. Yes, sir.
Although it does protect customers who eventually would come back and make sure that the capacity is there. As I said, the just-in-case capacity is, as Justice Cupp was talking about, the idea that it will be available if the customers do want to return. So there is a benefit to the customers, potentially.
Yes, but in this case, we're under the statute, which looks at, for instance, the statute looks at it allows the company to recover its costs, allows it to recover revenue forgone, but only when it's related to costs incurred, actual costs incurred. There were no costs incurred by AEP, no Polar costs, because there were these contracts in place, long-term contracts, and the evidence showed and the commission found that AEP was not providing any Polar service.
Well,
Council, would...
Go ahead.
Would your position be the same if there were no long-term contracts? I mean, we heard that there are other contracts being negotiated that may not necessarily be long-term, and for that reason, the Polar charge is in question. But would you take the same position if there was a tariff that did not impact a customer's ability to leave?
I hope I understand your honor's question. Overall, AEP has been determined to not bear this Polar risk. As a general regulatory mechanism, it's a proper mechanism. It's certainly been in place and used by the commission to pr- protect customers as well as the companies.
So are you saying that it doesn't matter that the contract is long-term, or it does matter to your position?
Well, in this case, it matters because these two long-term contracts were determined, found by the commission to eliminate the polar risk.
Counsel, I'm getting more confused by the moment as this goes on. Your co-counsel says it's not a contract. Mr. Norris says there are all these off-ramps, and I gather he's suggesting it's not a contract either. And if AEP didn't want to agree to this in the first place, this was not a negotiated deal. This is something that can the commission impose contracts, or do they simply make a rate determination over which they have continuing jurisdiction? And that would not seem to me that the word contract has any place in the discussion, if that's what it is.
OCC would agree. The commission.
So why do you refer to it as a contract then?
Well, it's an archaic term applied to this statute in the past, but now with the ability of mercantile customers to apply individually, it essentially is a misnomer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Bernowski, your co-counsel have used up all of your time and then some, but I'll give you 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to make two really quick points, because I know we've gone a long time already today. This is not a contract. There's no doubt it's not a contract. The statute provides that a mercantile customer can apply for a reasonable arrangement, and then it's up to the PUC to decide whether it's going to approve it or not. There's no requirement of consent, so it's just not a contract. Secondly, this polar charge is only relevant to this court if the court decides that the provision in the statute that says the PUC may include a provision for the recovery of costs incurred or revenues foregone actually requires the PUC to provide such a provision. The statute is clear on its face that the PUC may include such a provision. It doesn't have to. The language isn't shall or must or even should. It's may. So the only way we get to this polar charge is if you decide that that language doesn't mean what it clearly says, and the PUC has to provide recovery, and then it has to provide recovery for polar. Secondly, even if you get to that point, we end up dealing with the fact that the polar charge is clearly not being, the risk isn't being incurred here. So there's no reason to reward it. AEP's position is that it should be able to stop the approval of a reasonable arrangement that saves Ohioans $200 million every year and preserves 3,400 jobs in a distressed region of the state because it wants to recover a charge for a service it's not providing.
Now, you threw out a number of $200 million, you said?
Yes, the record
saves Ohioans.
Yes, the record below is...
You mean the general population of the state has saved $200 million a year?
Yes, I do, Your Honor. The record below was clear that if this reasonable arrangement wasn't approved and if the PUC didn't take this action, that Ormet would have been forced to close its Hannibal operations. That would have cost four major losses for Ohioans. It would have cost 1,000 high-paying, $100,000 a year jobs for people who lived in Hannibal, Ohio. It would have cost another 2,400 jobs that were dependent on the existence of the plant. It would have cost $195 million annually in economic benefits to that region of Ohio, and it would have cost $7 million in annual tax revenue for the state of Ohio paid by Ormet.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Nurse, you've used up all of your time. We'll start with a minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. First of all, it's false that AEP Ohio tried to block this contract or opposed it. We only want to have the Ohioans that benefit from the benefits pay the price tag. Mr. McNamee was mistaken in saying that the polar charge is not, the risk is not incurred until a customer leaves and then comes back. The commission on page 40 of the opinion order in the ESP case made it very clear The 90% of the polar risk is incurred for relative to a customer leaving to begin with, regardless of whether they ever come back or not. And that risk is there because of the continuing jurisdiction, because of what I said before, there's a scenario where this could easily happen again. In fact, in the 90s, Ormet had a special deal where they left AEP system and promised never to return because market rates were low. They got that service territory changed for AEP Ohio. And then later when market rates came back up, they came back and there was an agreement worked out where now they're our customer again. So it happens. And again, we're not trying to get in the way when there's a political or a public policy benefit to giving this kind of discount.
Mr. McNamee argues that 490531 provides that arrangements can be made for the allowance of the discounted service and says that the commission may include a device to recover the costs incurred, including
correct, Your Honor.
These charges. And I think his point is that this is a discretionary charge as part of the tariff that the PUCO has allowed in this case.
Again, we're not.
What is your best argument?
Absolutely, Your Honor. We're not questioning that the commission can't, has the discretion to approve a discount based on the record and based on the circumstances. That phrase may include is a prefatory phrase, and it makes no sense grammatically or under the plain English if you read the whole sentence. If the court reads the whole sentence, I believe it's clear that it says may include one, two, three, or four. And the commission has the discretion, but it, the way they're interpreting it as that internally modifies the language in item one where it says including foregone revenues. There's no may in including foregone revenues. It says it implies shall clearly, Your Honor. Now, the commission's.
And are the foregone revenues included in the polar charges? Is that right?
All the foregone revenues under the delta between the tariff and the discount are the revenues foregone. And the commission's secondary argument that General Assembly would have used shall include preceding the list of four items makes no sense because there would never be a reasonable arrangement. Those are disjunctive items in the list, and they may include any of the four.
So you read that statute to say that the Public Utilities Commission doesn't have the discretion to eliminate the polar charges if it allows any
other. Or any other tariff charge. Whatever the difference is in the merit, the discount they find to be with merit, that's the price tag, is the foregone revenues. That's what the General Assembly provided.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We will take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our opinion. Thank you.